There's a governor, they call him Governor Doom. Because he'd been preaching the doom of America so much and telling them what they ought to do to turn this thing around, so he got the nickname Governor Doom. And there's President Carter's foreign advisor, used to be foreign advisor to President Carter, Brzezinski. He's saying the same thing, that unless this nation recognizes this peculiar behavior that it has and turn the thing around, everything will be lost. And things are not getting better, they're getting worse. So we should be happy that we have something to support our life. We don't need their religion, we have our religion. And we don't need their philosophies or their ideologies. We have ours. It's in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet and in the wisdom of the Muslim scholars. We don't need anything from them. No. In fact, our presence in any non-Muslim country, if we be Muslims, is a blessing to that people. Yes, it's a real blessing to that people, if we be really Muslim. They don't have much to offer us. No, indeed. And if you all stop following their sense and start following Islamic sense, you'll do better as families, you'll do better as business people, you'll do better even in America's politics. Yes, if you stop following their senses and start following the sense of a Muslim, obedient to the word of God and the Sunnah of the Prophet, you'll find that you'll make much more progress. The most progressive people in this country, materially speaking, and in the sense of achievement, social achievement, cultural achievement, according to studies that have been done recently, is the Jew. Now, how come the Jews stand out for financial success and all other kinds of successes as a people, for the people? How come he stands out? Because the Jew, to this present time, has been successful at keeping to his own way of life. He's in America, but he's a Jew. He supports America, but he's a Jew. He thinks Jew. He lives Jew. He has his own view of reality from a Jewish knowledge base. He stands on Jewish knowledge. And then he looks at the world and he says with Jewish eyes what the world is, what the world should be. Part of the soup. And a Muslim should understand that you have the greatness. Now, the only way you're going to realize that is holding true to your religion and to your life form. The Muslims under Prophet Muhammad realized that because they held true to their religion. They held true to the Islamic life form. They pursued Islamic goals, not the goals that the world suggested, as we are doing. The average one of you, you're pursuing goals that this world suggests to you. You're not looking at your religion. You're not studying the Quran and studying the Sunnah and studying the history of this religion to see what should be your goals that you should be pursuing. No, you're getting your cues from the environment of the world. Huh? In other words, then you are not under the power of your religion. You're under the power of the world. The world is forming you. The world is forming your future. And that's why we are weak as Muslims in this country. When we get our life into our hands sufficiently, like the Jew has his life in his hands. But I hope we can do it even better. We should be able to do it much better. When we get our life in our own hand, and we start living our life in accordance with our religion, buddy, we are going to become a progressive people in this country. And not only in this country, wherever we live. We're talking about a revelation that has not been challenged successfully, the Quran. We're talking about a reputation of a man, of a successor, of a successful leader, a triumphant leader, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We're talking about a record that has not been challenged successfully. Huh? And we're also talking about a history that cannot be matched. Given the time that the accomplishments were realized, the short period of time, and the longevity of that life for a nation like Spain, a country founded by the people of North Africa. Huh? By the people of North Africa. Not Spain itself, but that order of Spain that survived under the Muslims were established under Muslims from North Africa. Some of them might have been your forefathers and mothers. That's a fact. In fact, nobody would be so foolish to say that none of their descendants are among us. There must be some of their descendants among us. In fact, I remember my father showing us a newspaper clipping. With a man on the slave block being sold. And he was dressed like a Moor of Northern Africa. He had that dress. And one of the names they used to give us was Blackamoor. Called us Negro, they called colored people, they called us black people. They also called us Blackamoor. So they must have thought, too, some of us descended from the Moors. You see? So you don't know what past you may have. You've been cut off of your past. So all we can do is just speculate and guess as to what the past was for us individually. Or go on a hunt for our roots like Haley did. And come up with a movie. We could do that. But what we can be sure of, if we are true believers, is the future. We can work for an Islamic future. Maybe we're not certain that we had an Islamic past, but we can, if we are Muslims, we can work for an Islamic future. And if we will do that, we will progress ourselves. Not separately like some of us do, and it doesn't count for much. We die and we leave nothing back here for the race and nothing for the children. But we will progress as a society, as a community of Muslims in America. But we should learn from the unity of creation, the oneness of its nature, its consistent laws. We should learn great sciences and then use those sciences to better our own environment and to make progress for ourselves on this earth. We have to stop thinking spiritually. Religious people are spiritual, but their assignment is on this earth until God called them away from it. Our assignment is on this earth. So we cannot be thinking spiritual, that we are a spiritual community. No. We are a dynamic, striving, productive community. If we are Muslims, we're supposed to be working to improve the whole life of man, if we're really Muslims. So let us keep the Islamic life before us and the commitment to community life and community advancement. Because God sent Muhammad to us to guide us into community life and into community establishment. That we may be a community on this earth. No matter where we are to live the disciplines of the Islamic community life. To live those disciplines is also to have Islamic businesses, Islamic cultural facilities, Islamic outlets for the total need in your human life. America is a good place for it, because in America, that right is sacred. That's a sacred right in America's law, the constitutional law, that every people have a right to practice their own religion, to have their own religious government. Do you know that? Do you know that religious people have the right to their own religious government? That's why there's a separation of church and state, because they recognize church as government and state as government. And the Christians are entitled to Christian government life. Jews, they don't ask anybody for it. They have their government life. They've always had it. They ain't going to change it. Many of the Asians come over here, they have their government life. Doesn't mean that you work against this government. No, you agree. This government is so loose. You have to have another government. Yeah, if you don't have another government, you don't have any government. This government is only it's a support. It's a guardian for your government. That's all it is. It's a guardian for the government that you choose. Now, what government do you choose? You choose Islamic government, you choose Hindu government, you choose Jewish government, you choose church government. What government you choose? Okay, this government is supposed to be a guardian for your government, as long as you're a citizen of this country. But if you don't have no sense of government, this government ain't much for you. That's a fact. I know many of the ignorance among us, they can't understand that, and they can't see what I'm saying. They can't appreciate what I'm saying here. Oh, don't call us ignorant, Brother Imam. I called you ignorant in a nice way. I said they're ignorant among us. So we got our ignorant, and we got our wise, I hope. So that doesn't... Don't be ashamed of somebody saying that you're ignorant. I'm ignorant myself in some respects. Maybe in many respects. I'm ignorant myself. And in respect of what I'm saying right now, I'm sure many of you all are ignorant. You don't understand this country's idea. The idea of the American people, this country, the nation, you don't understand it. And you think that there's only one government. This government, just like it has states within the state, so many states, but all coming under federal government. The one state, the United States. But in the United States, the president come out and he gives the State of the Union address, right? The State of the Union address. So the Union is one state, but in that one Union, there are many states. And all the states have their different laws. Huh? And then the cities have their different laws. And little townships have their different laws. And if you want to form your own township, you can form your own township, and your township can have laws for your own needs that people have to respect when they come into your township. America is a freedom all the way. There's nothing in America that's not free. Even law is free in America. It's free to the point that we can scrap the whole Constitution and bring in another one. Isn't that provided in the Constitution of the United States? Yes. So don't be afraid. I say that to keep make tell you, don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? You know, we were slaves for 3 centuries. We were slaves. Not necessarily us here, but our people. For centuries, we were slaves. And I think still the ghost of slavery is in us, saying, is that permissible? And you'll never know what is permissible unless you study. Why don't you study it? If you're afraid to progress in America because you're afraid to break a law, or you're afraid to do something out of order, you think you're going to meet grave consequences for doing it, then if you want to be bigger and more progressive, you want to get more, you want to have more in life, why don't you study America's law? Study its constitution. Study its history. Study its idea. And if you come to know it better, you realize then that you have much more freedom than you're asking for. Black people don't ask for much freedom. Just want the freedom to work. And really, we don't want the freedom to work. Most of us just want the freedom to eat, sleep, have sex, have fun, die. Now, that's the truth. That's a fact. Most of us, that's the limit of our freedom, all the freedom we want. Say, oh, hey, what is this great idea you Muslims got? How much money you all got? Because money means party, a woman, food, drink, eat. So really, you don't want no money. If you wanted money, you get into economics. Get into financing. If you want some money, really, you don't want no money. He wants sex. He wants some real liquor, some drinks, and some food. He want to eat. He want to be warm. He want to look good. He want to be dressed up, you see. He want to ride around in a nice car. But really, he don't want no money. He wants looks and feelings. Right? He just wants looks and feelings. That's all he want. Because if he wanted money, he wouldn't be asking for those things. He wouldn't ask for money. He wouldn't even ask for a job. He would ask for freedom. Eh? He'd ask for freedom. Because if he's free, and if he's got what it takes, he can get whatever anybody else can get. They called me up at home, and they told me that it was late for Juma, and should they start? So I told them, since you called me and don't start, wait. I was on the way. I was going to be late. So I know a lot of you say, I wish you had not come. I'm sorry if I'm holding you from something very important. Yes. So there's no way for us except to be true to the religion. That's the only way. Be true to religion, and we'll get everything. God will then bless us. Everything else will be answered. We get all the other needs will be taken care of. Just be true to the religion. And believe me, ain't no way for us to be true to this religion and just come here and pray and go home. No. Prophet Muhammad, unlike the other prophets, he gave us a big, big responsibility in the world. Prophet Muhammad, he didn't allow the Muslims to be outside of the work of the community and receive merit, praise, and honor. No. He played down the importance of those who just went about their spiritual duties but weren't doing something constructive for society, weren't doing a work that benefited society. Prophet Muhammad says the best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. The best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. And the best of you is the one, best of you is also the most useful of you to his community, to the Muslim, the believers. You see? So, whoever benefits man the most, what are you doing to benefit the man? What are you doing to benefit your society? If you're just being obedient in your prayers and your devotional thoughts, then how is that benefiting us in this society? Is that relieving the financial burden on us? Is that making jobs for our jobless? No. So those who will get involved and invest in business and make jobs for our jobless, and who will do scientific work to improve the future for man, they are more valuable according to our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And he didn't say nothing that wasn't already in the Quran. Whatever the Prophet has said is already in the Quran. God says you are the best community brought out for the good of all people. And the Prophet says who the best of you is the one who benefits mankind. It's the same if you understand it.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ونحمده على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Him and praise Him on the gift of Muhammad, the noble and generous messenger of God. We pray peace and blessings be upon him, from his descendants, his companions, all the righteous. Ameen. Allah Most High says in the Quran, وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا أَنْ يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهِ. If they want to burden you and wear upon you, then know for surely God is sufficient for you. Now this is what God tells the Prophet of God, the Prophet, the Holy Prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. There are among the people those who are true and sincere, and they gave their great support to our Prophet. And then there were among them also those who were deceitful. They were not sincere. And they did everything to create problems for the Prophet. God says to the Prophet, in those circumstances, for him to know for sure that God is sufficient for him. Those people would not be victorious. They would not be successful. Almighty God, the same one who, Allah says in his holy book, هو الذي أيدك بنصره والمؤمنين. He is the one who has strengthened you with his help, and also the believers. He has strengthened the Prophet with his great help, and he've also done that for the believers. The followers who believed the Prophet, who believed and followed the Prophet, believed in God and believed in the Prophet, obeyed God and they followed the Prophet. So God gave his aid to both the Prophet and to the believers. We find ourselves in similar circumstances today. If we are really believers, you should be comforted in this belief, that just as Allah aided Muhammad and his followers, he will aid us today. And just as our Prophet had to be bothered by deceitful people who claimed to be among them, as one of them, we will have to be bothered today by deceitful people who claim to be one of us among us. But their purpose is not to support us. Their purpose is to add to our problems, to bear upon us, to trouble us, to add burden to us, to wear on us, to be an annoyance, a vexation, a trouble, to wear on your spirit, to make you give up, or to make you half productive. Yes. I like that new saying they got here in this part of the world. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That's Islamic. Yes. The same philosophy may be extracted from the saying in the Quran, Innama al-usri yusra. Hmm? Surely with difficulty comes ease. It means by facing the difficulty, not running away from it, you will bring a state of ease will come eventually. Won't be long coming either. So actually the same philosophy could be extracted from the Quran. That when the going get tough, the tough gets going. And again, Allah says in the Quran to the Prophet, surely you have, pardon me, as soon as you have finished from one task, immediately take up another. Hmm? So that's even the better philosophy, isn't it? It goes further than just telling you to rise up to the challenge. It tells you, stay with the challenge all the time. In other words, challenge is good for us. Huh? Challenge is good for us. When there's a great challenge, there's opportunity for work and progress. When there's no challenge, there's stagnation. No challenge? Stagnation. You become stagnant. You're not doing anything because there's nothing to challenge you. So our religion tells us to not to be satisfied without a challenge, without a task. That as soon as you finish one great task, immediately get into another. So man doesn't have to wait for the circumstances in his life to produce for him or present him with a task or a challenge. Man should be searching for a challenge, searching for a task. That's the science. That's the scientist. Huh? That's the scientist. The society is just moving along, and waiting and waiting, or just dealing with the things at hand. Science comes out with a new invention and create great opportunity for work in progress. Huh? And the scientist, he wasn't waiting for something to challenge him. He was looking for something. Huh? That's Islamic. That's Islamic. So how can you stay at home? And as some of the sisters are saying, let the white man take care of your wife and your children. Keep your light on, your gas on. Keep food in your refrigerator. Even give you some car fare. Clothes rations. Just taking care of you. The white man said, hey, you black men ain't got no women. They're my women. What can we say? Huh? What can we say with the numbers that we have on welfare? Hey, what you talking about? Your woman is my woman. Say, in fact, you my woman too. Yeah. If he say that, what can we say? If we say we get the argument, we would make ourselves look more ridiculous. White man's mythology shows four white men holding up the world on their shoulders. I don't see a black one there yet. What part of the world are black men holding up with their shoulders? And you know why? It's because he thinks with the brains of the white man. And he's not white. He thinks with the brains of the white man, and he lives with the burden of the black man. Huh? So he's thinking with the brains of the black man, with the brains of the white man, but the white man's thinking tells, what the black man's body tells him, the black man's burden tells him, the white man's thinking cannot be executed in my body. So he's thinking, yeah, he thinks like the white man. He's thinking with the knowledge and the brain of the white man, but he carries the burden of the black man. Say, yeah, say, I can't carry this out, though. You need to think with the brains of the white man and see yourself with the freedom of the white man. Then you'll make it. Think with the brains of the white man and see yourself with the freedom of the white man. Then you'll make it. Don't see yourself with the burden of a black man. Just forget about you black. If you can't think you're white, just think you're no color. You're transparent. Yeah, if we stop thinking black, we get somewhere. I have people telling me, oh, you can't do that, Brother Imam. You know they ain't going to let you do that, Brother Imam. They will, they. So do I have some different kind of birth certificate than they have? I have the same birth certificate, born in this country like they are. When I go get my passport, they give me one just like they get. I saw them, and I stood in line with them. They got the same passport I got. Now, why should I think I'm different? By thinking I'm different is what keeps me from enjoying the opportunities that are out there for me. If you all stop thinking black, this community of Muslims will grow. It'll get big. The school will grow, the businesses will grow, and everything will grow. Just stop thinking black. Think Muslim. Muslim American with all the freedom and rights that the whitest man have on this land. That's how you should think. And ain't nothing wrong with thinking like a white man as long as he's thinking right. If he's thinking right, you're thinking like a man. Huh? You're just thinking like a man. Just happen to be a white man that represent that kind of thinking right now because there ain't enough of us thinking like a man. These sisters getting tired of you all being taken care of by the white man and talking to them like you a man. They say they're tired of that. And I don't blame them. I told them, I'll support you, sisters. You just lead the way. I guess if we start doing it like the white man did you, maybe you'll wake up. Hey, boy, get over there. Get over there. Take those chairs. Yeah, that's how he did you, right? Hey, boy. You a boy unlimited. He called you a boy. Okay, boy, hey, get that thing done. You don't do it, take a strap and whip you right in front of everybody. And you go crying, yes, sir, boss, yes, sir, boss, yes, sir, yes, sir. You did that once, you can do it again. In fact, you're not as much man now as you were then. Do you know that's a fact? Most of our men are not as much man today as they were 100 years ago. We're losing the masculinity from our men. It's dying. You see the white man going down, you should be going up. That's right. And it's just like you being in a prison, right? Because America was a prison for us for a long time. Still is, in some degree right now. Although you got freedom, but still is kind of prison in many ways right now. Okay, it's just like people being in a prison, inmates being in a prison, and say, hey, we're innocent. We're not guilty, and they've been keeping us in prison all these years. And after a while, in time, the guards start getting weak and become frail and sissified. And they're still in prison now. And they don't see any more tough guards. The guards are all frail and sissified. And they're living a lifestyle that's making them more frail and more sissified. And the inmates now, what they should do is start doing more exercise to keep their muscles up, right? But instead, they start following the lifestyle of the guards. They start doing the sissified thing and get frail and sissified. And just live their own sissy guards and sissy inmates. When the sissy inmates had an opportunity to take over, while the guards were becoming sissies, huh? That was their chance to develop their muscles and get strong and take off the power from the sissy guards and free themselves. But instead of doing that, they followed the way of the guards. They followed the guards' lifestyle. And becomes sissified too. So sissy guards, sissy inmates. Isn't that America? That's America. That's America and the masses. America's ruling order is getting weaker and weaker, becoming more and more sissified. Instead of the masses becoming stronger, they follow the sissified trends, they get weak too. So they stay prisoners. They stay prisoners, stay inmates. So understand these things and try hard to get your life in your own hands. Thank you. Try hard to get your life in your own hands, because without it, you're finished. You're finished. No help out there. The help is in the belief. The help is in the belief. There's opportunity out there, but only if you have something already in here. If you have nothing in here, then there's opportunity out there are nothing but deception. Now, to complete this, I will finish reading this. That here is, he is the one who helped you, and also the believers. And he brought your hearts together in love and affection. In love and affection. Were you to have had all that is in the earth to spend to gain that from them, you would have not been able to gain that from them. In other words, Prophet Muhammad, Allah is saying to Prophet Muhammad, if you had all the wealth in the whole earth to spend on the people to win their hearts to you, you couldn't have gain the amount of sincerity and love and affection that they have in their hearts for you and for each other. But it is God that brings that affection for you between them in their hearts. It is God that brings that affection for the Prophet in their hearts, and also for them. So we conclude with this, that God is one, also the rewards must come from Him. All the rewards must come from Him. If you expect to have good relationship with each other, if we expect to have good relationship as Muslims with each other, that we care about each other, we're going to have to first be believers in God. If some of us take the religion lightly and we don't really believe in God strongly, that causes a problem for all of us. The more we believe in God, the more we are committed to obey Him out of fear and love for Him, the better the chance is going to be for us to have good relationship with each other. That's the condition. The condition for us to have love and good relationship with each other and trust between each other is that we first have complete faith and love for Allah. That's the condition. Now, everybody's not going to be that way. The believers who are sincere to that, you should strengthen each other. You should strengthen each other. And let those people who care little for God, let them go to themselves. Let them go to themselves. You will weaken yourselves if you have all those weak-hearted, weak-faith people among you. So if you form a group to do something constructive, don't bring in the people who have weak faith. Not if you're a person of real faith in Allah. Bring in the people who have strong faith in Allah, who show by their life that they really sincerely believe in God. Bring them into your constructive work. Whether it's business, education, I don't care what it is. Select them. And don't select those who are weak in belief. Because if you do, you're doing nothing but inviting trouble. So Allah has given us the answer. All we have to do is receive it and obey. Receive it from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and obey. and we'll be successful. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, fil alameen innaka hamidun.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.